Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining with a community of poets, of writers, of lovers of the spoken word, and the poetic arts. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. Quote, sometimes the worst thing that happens to you, the thing you can't survive, is the thing that makes you better than you used to be. Quote, for a star to be born, there is one thing that must happen. A gaseous nebula must collapse. So collapse. Crumble. This is not your destruction. This is your birth. Quote, from the ashes a fire shall be woken. A light from the shadows shall spring. By the way, I could keep going. I got a list of like 300 of these things. What I was trying to say is like the phoenix. We're back, everybody. It's been 2 weeks. It was a long 2 weeks. I suffered withdrawal. I punched myself in the face countless times last Friday.
I'm sorry.
Well, it was partially because of the show. But we are back. My nose is slightly enlarged. The swelling is going down. But here we are. It is the February 21st, 2020 edition. I am one of your hosts, Michael Amadei. Sitting across from me is the man who keeps everything moving, and my co-host, Mr. JT Gunter. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
We have really seen each other for about a half an hour off the air since our last show.
Yes.
And after we got our flexing competition out of the way, we had about 5 minutes before the show started. Yeah. And I didn't get a chance to ask you, how are you?
I'm good.
What's been going on the last couple weeks?
Work, school, Valentine's Day, went to dinner.
You're speaking this just like a haiku, Master Woods.
That's right.
It's all just snapshots. Work, school, Valentine's Day.
And then work and school again.
Life dripping down, drain. All right.
But no, it's really it. It's been good.
I've noticed you've started wearing a pick in your beard.
Yeah.
This is this for self-defense or what's the?
No, I just.
It's natural.
Yeah.
Okay. Naturally occurring pick. There. You just woke up one morning and it was there.
Yeah, you just put it in the morning. Just you always have it.
Just hurts too much to pull out. Just I'll get it eventually. All right. Very good. And for anybody who doesn't know, JT has been growing a heroic beard. And I think you're looking more and more like a cross between a character in Braveheart and a vizier to a very, you know, a very powerful sultan or something.
Yeah.
Not like a Jafar.
Right.
You know, kind of thing, but like a, you know, you look like an honest right-hand person.
Well, good. Thank you.
It's a good thing.
Thank you.
I have been somewhat of no consequence the last 2 weeks.
Oh?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
That's about it. No, I mean, I've just been directing and playing.
How's that going?
The directing's going really well. Oddly Good. Enough, I've started receiving calls for this summer, more than one, to direct more in other places.
Ah,
this
already.
This is not. Well, they try to get this handled ahead of time and hire someone.
But
so,
I mean, like,
Yeah, it's kind of weird when you're not trying to direct music. Like, that's a niche, man. You're not trying to direct musicals at all, but yet your phone keeps ringing. Like, what's happening here? Is there really only one person in town doing this? And why is there only one person in town doing this? I'm not the only person in town doing this, obviously.
You're
however,
just the best one doing it.
No one's seen the musical yet. No one's seen it. They don't even know. Wait until they see the dance moves I've come up with.
Oh.
The whole second act, nothing but the worm.
Awesome. That's going to go over great with
you. Should hear the singing when people are doing the worm. It just completely goes out the window, but it's hilarious. All right. So tonight we've got some cool stuff coming up. We've got the reveal of our anonymous, yet somehow world famous, February 2020 Poet of the Month. Also, we will be having a Studio X. And it'll sound exactly like that. I feel like you just looped that. I could fake a Red Hot Chili Peppers song so easily over that.
All
I have to do is the rhythm of da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then we're good. All right. And we will also be having some amazing poetry from poets around the world, definitely around the country, and perhaps from our neighbors in the north, we'll see. And, of course, we will be setting things up for the rest of the... how long are we going to be doing this? For the next, 6-8 weeks, something like that?
Somewhere around there. We'll figure it out, for sure.
Yeah. So we're just happy to be back. It's great to have had a week off. I'm glad that you guys were able to have Valentine's Day and kind of observe the traditions and everything. And Christine was telling me about where you guys went and everything. And
yeah.
So it's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah. I can't remember what I actually did. Oh, I know what I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I purposefully decided to cancel all plans in Wright. And I was actually very happy to do that.
Good.
It was really nice, actually. I made good food.
Nice,
I think I made like a steak.
Evening.
I made a steak with grass-fed butter and like...
good.
And what is it? Grass-fed thyme. So good. And just made great food. And I wrote, and I was so pleased. I was really happy. So it was actually a really good evening.
As long as you're happy with it.
You know, that's what people tell me.
That's right.
But what do they know? All right, so getting back in the swing here, man. I'm a little bit out of things. All right, so before we do anything else, we're going to get into kind of the rules of the show, the way the show works. Of course, for people who are listening, you kind of know already, but what it'll be is that shortly we will give our number and we'll have 5 people call in. We need 5 unique callers for the first segment. After that, we'll give the number again, and we need 5 more callers to call in. You're guaranteed 2 segments. If, for some reason, we don't hit all 5 of the second segment, that's fine. That means we'll just be triggered into the Studio X segment, and then we'll do a return engagement, which means anybody who wants to call in and share a poem again or call for the first time and share a poem, you can do that. However, we do those 5 caller segments at the beginning part of the show because it just helps the show flow much better to make sure everyone has a turn. The rules of the show, as they kind of stand, and they've stood for a long time, are as follows. Number 1, we don't do hate speech on the show. We never have. We never will. It is just not part of who we are and what we do. Rule number 2, please skew PG-13 if you can. Try not to get too intense with the poetry because we have families, we have younger people who listen. We want to make this a friendly place for them. That being said, we're not in the business of censoring people. So if you have a good flow going, if it's artistic, we might not jump in. But if it does get gratuitous, we do reserve the right to come on the line and ask you to read it maybe at another time that's more appropriate Rule number three, when we come on the line, please be prepared with your poem. It just helps the flow of the show. It's also more respectful for the poets who are waiting and listening to the show. In the same vein, rule number four, please keep your work no longer than 3 to 5 minutes long. I think that is that's something that we really figured out over time, that kind of capping the time of the poem also really helps the flow and makes it work. All right, and the last rules for JT and myself, we have a lot of things we're doing during the show to keep things moving. It's really hard for us to remember if something said to us on the phone. We've tried before. It just doesn't work as well. So if you have a suggestion, if you have a comment, if you have a criticism, something we want to, you know, something you want us to know, don't just say it on the air. Actually, email it to us, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, or put it in the contact form on our webpage at worldpoetryopenmic.net. All right, so those are the five rules for the program. Are we ready?
I think so. We do have not an odd question.
Yeah, what's that?
We do have a question.
Okay.
So when we talk about having your poem ready,
yeah,
just have it pulled up or in front of you ready to read.
Absolutely. So once you've called in and got your spot, which you do ahead of time,
yes,
just kind of have it ready on the screen. Just have it, you know, because we've had people, when we come on the line, sometimes they're having to look for their poem or they're having to look through a stack of books or, you know, whatever. We've had all kinds of things happen. So just basically have it around you so you can say, and this is my piece, and you can start reading the work fairly soon.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay. Right. I'm good.
All right. Thanks for catching that, by the way.
You're welcome.
All right. So we're looking for our first five callers for the evening. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or if you're calling on Skype, the ID is World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate.
Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. So, JT, I don't know if you noticed, in the 2 weeks we've done the show, have you noticed my head has gotten larger?
A little bit.
I've been lifting weights.
Oh.
And I do this thing where I attach a weight to my head, and I do this. Just kind of lean my head forward.
Yeah.
And I can, you know, at first it felt like neck things. But then after my arm started falling asleep all the time, then I just suddenly realized it was purely just head strength. And so now I have a bulging head, I've been told. And so I'm lifting upwards now of 200 pounds with my head.
That's incredible.
Multiple times a day. And I don't know. I feel like it's a new thing I'm turning over. You know, once I can feel my arms again, this will be great.
I thought that was a hump. I'm so sorry. I didn't realize it was a muscle.
That's straight muscle, man.
That's incredible.
Yeah,
dude.
I can flex it too. Check this out.
Whoa.
Yep. I ripped so many shirts that way. It's insane. All right. Well, everybody, welcome back. We have five callers. Incredible callers. Callers that will blow your mind. But I'm not selling them. You know, too intensely. I think they're going to live up to more than the hype.
Okay.
Before we get there, we have two things we need to talk about. Number one.
Yes.
If you like the show, if you have loved the show, if you want to show your appreciation and you want to help the show stay on the air, there's a way you can do that. The World Poetry Open Mic 2020 Anthology is now live on Amazon.com. What it is a collection of poetry from the poets that call into the show. And they have said, we want to support the show by contributing our work. So once a year, we put it all together in a great anthology and we put it out. And all of the proceeds from that go directly to fund the show as far as the website and hosting and all of that stuff. So if you want to support the show, if you get something of value out of it, go to Amazon.com, look up World Poetry Open Mic 2020 Anthology. That's a real short, catchy title. And look it up and you'll be able to find it there. There's also our previous anthologies there as well. When you order the book, it's great. It comes in a package. It's square. You open it. Sometimes you need oven mitts because it's just blazing hot. Mm-hmm. But when you open it, you're going to have a good time. I guarantee you. Maybe some tea. Maybe some coffee. Maybe in my case, some hard liquor. And just enjoy
it. Ah, interesting.
Actually, yeah. All right. And then the next thing. The moment you've all been waiting for. It is time for us to reveal the identity of our mysterious February 2020 Poet of the Month.
February 2020
face behind a veil. It is now time. Before I unveil the identity, I'm going to read the clues one more time. Now, for those just listening, each week before we unveil the, we give the identity of our poet for the month, we will give three clues for several weeks, and then we'll give you their identity. So here are the clues from week one. We did it several weeks ago. Number one, born into artistic inclination in the newest of the New World Yorks. Clue number two, the boat crew asked him to fly, and he did. Clue number three, war behind, shape the forming minds. All right, this is week two. Clue one of week two, the thought of thoughts to words intoned. Clue number two, the fictive life set to journaling. And clue number three, to the garden where the flowers are salt. Now, those were tough, but they were a little on the nose if you kind of got into it. Now, unfortunately, including to George, I'm sorry, nobody actually got the identity of our poet of the month.
Wow.
I know. That's kind of crazy. Our poet of the month is none other than Howard Nemiroff. Howard Nemiroff was a highly acclaimed poet, often cited for the range of his capabilities and subject matter, from the profound to the poignant to the comic. James Billington remarked in his announcement of Nemiroff's appointment to the post of United States Poet Laureate. He was born in New York, New York, to an artistically inclined family. He was he went to Harvard, and then he served in World War II as a pilot in the U.S. Army's Air Force Royal Canadian Unit. When he came back, he became a teacher, and you'll start looking through all of his stuff. Suddenly, when you read his biography, all of these clues will make sense. You'll start going, oh, okay. Like, and I actually named some of his work very directly in the clues.
Wow.
Sometimes I try to do that when it's a little too rough. But if you want to learn more, go to worldpoetryopenmic.com. If you look on the left-hand side of the menu, it'll say Poet of the Month. Click on that, and you'll be able to see a little bit about him and follow a link to learn more. So that is our February 2020, well, I should say Howard Nemiroff is our 2020, or February 2020. Wow, I'm really butchering this. Let's try this again. Let's start over.
It's okay.
We start fresh? Okay.
Sure.
It's like that time I accidentally went on a date and forgot my pants. We had to start fresh. I just went and got another pair of pants. I know. I can't believe I did that, man. I made fun of people who did it before, and then I did it three times. Last week. No, okay. Here we go. So, Howard Nemiroff is our February 2020 Poet of the Month.
Yeah, much better.
Thank you.
Well done.
Told you I was professional. All right, so.
First take. Well done.
Thank you very much. That's what we get for doing it live.
That's right.
Woohoo! All right, so. We're here on our first segment, JT.
Yes, we are.
Do you know that I have a submission?
No, I did not know that.
So. I do, and what? I'm sorry I did not tell you because I did not see it until just now.
Well, that's great.
This is from James Rothline. He's going to a wedding tomorrow, so he's turning in early. I don't know what that has to do with poetry, but that sounds good. And he asked me if I could read one or all of these. In this case, I'm going to read one because that's how we do it.
Right.
This is from James Rothline. It's Pondering the Pursuit. Pondering the pursuit of a poorly penned poem, proving I'm not always number one with a bullet. And as I consider how this could be an analogy on my life as a child of God, my cats are in the corner, wondering when I'll refill the water bowl. And that is Pondering the Pursuit from James Rothline. I actually really like that one.
That's great. Yeah.
Well done, Jim. If you want to be like Jim, you want to send in some poetry to have read, you can do it. worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or put it in the contact form. Just indicate in either case that it's to be read on the show, and we'll do it. We'll give you a hand. All right. Now it is time for us to travel to a place called Michigan.
Once George calls back.
And George needs to call for us to travel there, so don't ruin our travel plans, George. That's just something I never thought I would say on the air.
George, don't ruin our
don't
travel
ruin our travel plans.
Interesting.
Yes. Oh.
There he is.
All right. Good evening, George.
Hello, hello. I made it.
You did. You did. Welcome. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Thank you. I am glad to be here. It's Friday night. And it's cold here in Michigan, but I think it's cold in a lot of places. But it was sunny. So I was able to go out and trudge in among the humans.
Well, that's great.
Where they shop, where they eat, where the humans eat, and where the humans shop. I ventured in there precariously. And
I always find the danger for me is exactly proportionate to the amount of pleated khakis that are in a specific vicinity.
Yes, that's right. Well, I agree completely, and I try not to wear my pleated khakis every day, but once in a while I do have a pair of plaid. I do when I travel. I want to look like an absolute typical obnoxious American tourist.
Yes.
So I wear plaid shorts with black socks and brown shoes.
Yes.
And a bright Hawaiian shirt, and then I wear a camera around my neck and a big hat.
Yes.
And I with sunglasses, you know, and I think I probably come off as the ugly American, which is, you know, whatever.
I was told a trick by two military vets who love Europe and they spent a lot of time in Germany, and they were telling me that if you speak English, they'll ignore you. But if you speak in broken Spanish, they'll stop and talk to you.
Well, it's getting to the point internationally where if you're from America, you better wear a brown lunch bag over your head because someone's gonna stone you and ask you what we're doing, ask you what the hell we're doing here.
Is that what you say? I'm American. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Don't know why. Sorry. I was
teasing Cynthia. I wondered if they're going to build a wall between British Columbia and the United States.
I wouldn't blame us guys.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame them. Would you?
I wouldn't blame them at all.
Well,
yeah.
All right. We could keep going. I know on this for sure.
That's right. I have a very short one. This is called Over All Those Years. In my dream, I found out my dad was still alive and living in our old house. I went to see him, and there he was, looking quite well. I asked him why he hadn't contacted me over all those years. He grinned and asked me why I hadn't visited him over all those years. I woke up. End of piece.
You know, that sounds like dreams that I'm having on a pretty regular basis. That's pretty, I really enjoy that. There's a lot of, whether you mean it that way or not, there's a lot of ways to take that and to extrapolate from it.
Right, right. It's, the fact that it's a dream has to be the factor all along, you know?
Yeah,
and I suppose the you know, I'm not a Freudian about dreams, but still I understand the importance of them. So anyway, yeah, that's the thing. And I'm I thank you for making me number one. Dennis would be jealous, you know, from where he's probably on one of the big North Shore surfing along one of those North Shore pipelines.
He probably is right. I mean, right now where he is, it's what, 4:30 in the afternoon. So,
yeah.
You know, it's not quite time for the early bird dinner yet. You know,
eat your heart out, Dennis. You could. So anyway, I'm sure we'll hear from him. If not tonight, we'll hear from him next week. I don't know when he comes back, frankly, but I think it's before next week. So
okay. Well, I hope he's having a wonderful time. I really do.
Yes. And, yes.
But we'll talk to him when he comes back. Thank you, George. Great way to lead it off. I think that sets a great tone for the evening.
Thank you. I'll step aside and get ready for the next time.
All right. Thank you, sir. And that was George calling from Michigan, a land in the south, if you're in Canada. See? There you go. Context. We live on a globe. You can go south and keep going. Just keep going south.
Straight eventually, through the ice wall.
Eventually. Well, hey, man, it happened on Game of Thrones.
That's right.
You keep going, and eventually, you end up in the north again.
Right.
Eventually.
Yeah.
But here's the trick. North Pole, you keep going. Falls pretty quickly, right, you're still in the north. Like, once you cross the pole, you're just still, you know, it's just, just how it works.
Weird.
Life is complicated and beautiful. I've been on the air in 2 weeks. I feel nuts. By the way, I have to say something before we go into the next
yes.
caller.
Yes.
So I haven't been doing podcasts recently.
Oh, that's right.
And I got to be honest. I'm just being honest with what I'm doing. I've been working on launching a whole other one. I've been doing interviews and building some stuff up. There's things actually to replace it that are coming, but I got to a point where I really think with the way everything is in the media right now, everything's so loud, so fever pitch, so crazy. I just kind of don't want to say much, you know? I guess when I'm kind of playing around, I'm just being playful.
Yeah.
But it's just at a moment where everybody's screaming, I kind of want to be quiet and I kind of want to spend the time creating things that are really good.
Yeah.
And just wait. And I know that sounds strange, but it's just kind of my instinct, my natural instinct. So the reason I've been putting stuff out is I just feel like someone in the world needs to shut up sometimes, and it might as well be me for a little while.
Okay.
So, that's my first and only official comment on the situation. But here's a guy that I talk to when I'm not running around like a chicken with my head cut off, which has been a lot recently. This gentleman, I talked to him throughout the week. He's always a great companion, always sending me great stuff. Let's go to Zach in upstate New York. Good evening, Zach.
Good evening, my friend. How are you guys? I missed you.
We're doing very well. Missed you also. How's everything going where you are?
It's still the weather and playing the waiting game.
What's going on with the weather out there?
It's Rochester weather ever bipolar, so it's going between 35 and zero.
Oh, I see.
That swing.
So yep. we went from, what was it, 2 days ago? Nine?
Like 18 or nine, yeah.
And like 9 degrees, and today was 59 degrees.
Yes.
So we get it. It's just going up and down and up and down and up and down.
Snow on Sunday.
It's snowing on Sunday?
Yep.
Son of a... Okay, anyway. All right. Well, Zach, how about this? I'm going to give you the stage, and we'll talk after, okay?
All right, sounds good. This is yet another poem inspired by the poem prompts that you guys put up on the World Poetry Open Mic Facebook page. For those of you who are new to the show, every week, Michael and JT, or just Michael or JT, I'm not sure, they put up they put up prompts to inspire you to write poems, and this poem is based on the couple of days last week. I think it was a poem asking to write about the forgotten, unloved, and outcasts. And so I immediately thought of homeless vets. Maybe that's the way they feel, not necessarily true that they are outcasts, unloved, but anyways, this poem is called Brave, and here we go. The air should be light, filled with joy, not fright, on this cold winter night. And for most, it is. The difference between them and me, you see, is that they are not prisoners of their minds. They are free. I was sentenced to this life alone, without a home to call my own. After I served my country, oh, what a world I was shown. Don't misunderstand. I had a good life. I lived the American dream, complete with a house, a dog, a beautiful wife. But once I signed up for another tour, her heart couldn't take it anymore. She walked out the door. When I came back, I was too embarrassed to ask for help. So that's how I got here, feeling like I only have myself to blame. But even as I joined my fellow outcasts, forgotten and unloved, I smile with pride, knowing I was brave enough to play the game. End of piece.
Very nicely done. Very nicely done. I'm really glad that you're able to take those things that JT does and really kind of run with it, you know?
Absolutely. I wasn't sure if it was you or
all
JT or if it was both of us.
That's all JT. It's really he's putting a lot of time and focus into it every week. So really appreciate that.
Well, it definitely makes sense. Some of those quirky ones, like the about the genius rabbit, the rabbit with the genius IQ.
Oh yeah.
I had no idea where to go with that one. But,
no one could come up with that stuff but JT, I promise you.
Well, I appreciate it because it challenges me to think in different ways. And, I'm glad that you guys like my work based on the poem prompts. And, I'm just excited to... be able to share my work with you guys and to listen to great work, and I'll actually be able to enjoy it when I get my hearing aids. Hopefully that'll happen next week.
We're looking forward to it, just to hear your experience with it, and we're just looking forward to that for you, and we're just can't wait for that to come up.
Yeah,
I got some great. I got some music for you to listen to when you're ready.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there you go. See?
I'm ready, and right. I'll let the next person step up, but I can't wait to see your concepts for the book. I'm excited.
Well, I hope it doesn't disappoint, man. No pressure.
Well, we'll talk later, but I will talk to you guys in the return engagement.
Sounds great, Zach.
Sounds good. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. And that was Zach calling from upstate New York, where it kind of sounds like they're experiencing a little bit of the Colorado weather. You know, I got to say, so my room, the room where I'm working on the stuff for the musical and everything, it's huge. This room is ridiculous. It's surrounded by windows, which is awesome because it's on the second floor. And but every morning I come in, it is freezing to the point where I have kids actually bring in coats and sweatshirts and stuff because it's so cold.
Yeah.
But then in the afternoon, it's so hot, I have to open all the windows. So I've decided, and I did, I covered up my room number, and I just wrote malaria and taped it. This isn't a room. It's malaria. I did that yesterday afternoon. All right.
Oh, they got to go to malaria today.
Actually, the kids all get it. They're funny. All right. Let's go now to Vancouver, British Columbia, to speak with Cynthia. Hello, Cynthia.
Hey, I'm getting some great tips on directing.
All right. just hearing that.
Yeah, I've got some great ideas for my play I'm directing now.
That's right. You're directing play. Now, you mentioned that earlier, right?
Yeah, same thing. People just assume I'm going to be good at it. I'm like, okay, I was the Richmond Writer in Residence. You haven't seen the play yet. So.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like they keep doing it, and you're like, does anybody know that I don't really know how to do this? Like, I'm just kind of figuring it out right now. But yet somehow...
In the end here, it's like, this is really scary. Like, I'm the best person for this. Who are these people?
Well, then you start going, wait a second. What other industries are like this? Like, Did the people who designed the roads and the bridges have...
At the same time, though, it's going to be a lot of extra work than what we're getting paid. So
oh, for
I
sure.
feel like it's okay. But you, I can really know, relate. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, oh, no, I hope they like it.
Well, I you know, and it sounds like I'm just more in awe of this. This isn't me bragging. So when I took this thing, I'm assuming that it was going to be the same as when I was doing plays before, where I had to kind of figure out the sets and, you know, build everything, and we were going to have to do it all. And then I get to the school and I find out, no, they have sets from a high school that did the exact same play that's donating all of their sets for free. And then we have someone who's coming and doing bespoke costumes for everybody. And then we have a choreography. And I'm like, what is this? Like, I'm just not used to this. So suddenly all the work I thought I really had to do has like been cut by like 2/3. So I'm just kind of like, oh, okay, I'll just kind of provide the vision, I guess. And
it's so nice when you get used to doing 10 jobs. It's so nice to only have to do the one you're being paid for.
But I'm kind of weirded out by it, though, Cynthia. That's the problem. I don't really know what to do with myself.
That is so awesome. And congratulations on your writing night for Valentine's. That sounded so perfect.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful. And I hope that those who, you know, didn't fall into any trap. If you weren't out with somebody, you didn't fall into the trap of worrying about it, and you were able to find some lovely solace that evening as well.
So I'm one of those people too who writes on holidays. And so my poem for tonight is a new one. I just posted a link. My friend Jilly Watson is painting. She's one of my favorite painters in the world. And we're putting out a book at some point. So this is a brand new poem I wrote to go along with one of her paintings. For now, it's called Sanctuary, after the painting. My toes among wild snapdragons. I am a bed of yellow and orange flowers. Purple crown chakra in my heart, blue-green story, not ready to leave yet, healing vibrations through my being, like Manuka honey inside, all the flowers budding, safe and peaceful, pink and lemon voice, the meeting of deep nirvana and professional practice, the sun a mandala in the grass, being allowed to value ourselves and work at every age. End poem.
Very nicely done. Very nicely done. I really enjoyed that one a lot. GT, what did you think about that?
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we...
Yeah.
Well, Cynthia, I mean, I think part of it is, too, that we're so used to hearing work that we just, you know, really resonate with from you in general, but also that was, I think it just really connected well. Great job.
Thank you so much, because it's so hard to, like, when the painting's beside it, I feel really confident. You take the painting away, I'm like, I hope this makes some sense.
Oh, absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah. But it's kind of like you're almost like borrowing the confidence from the other person's work, but you're not really aware of it. It's but suddenly when it stands on it, it has to stand on its own, it becomes kind of scary. I understand that.
Yeah, but it's such a nice, safe community to, you know, unveil something in. So thank you.
Of course. We really appreciate it. We appreciate you. And we hope to talk to you during the return engagement.
For sure.
All right. Thank you. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. Yep.
Yep. Just
there,
just
there you go. See that? Do you like how that just flows, man? Just does. Flows. All right. Let's go to Cleveland, Ohio, to visit with Mama Oladeji. Hello, Mama.
Hello.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm here.
Well, we're happy you're here, at the very least.
Well, I was on my phone at first, and I didn't know how to navigate the phone and the phone call at the same time, so yeah. I switched over to the chat room. On the big mic, on the big screen of my computer, and it's going around in circles now. I'm still going to mute it because it might come back in.
In the middle of a poem, it's going to hit and, you know, ruin everything. Yeah, I get it.
And if I try to go in the chat room, it's going to tell me to go to my email and get my code and all that. So I'm just going to leave the chat room a day alone. But everybody was wonderful. Cynthia, I heard you. I heard you, George. I heard everybody. So thank you all for being here. I missed all of you all. And I'm going to go ahead and do my piece. I've been having some, you know, kind of like not dreams, but thinking about like my friends that are my daughter, people that are gone, put it like that. So I'm going to do this piece dedicated to one of my friends. He was a musician. He was a reggae musician and a very good friend of mine that I used to promote. And his band was called the Black Lion Band. And he died, it's about a year and a half now. So I'm going to do something that's Papa Shadow. And I'm going to do a piece that I dedicated to him because he kept coming in my mind. And put some music on with it. Here we go. Pop a shadow on the mic. The way you swayed, it make you stay on our mind. You stayed on our mind. You were there all the time. Raw soul and unpretentious with zeal that was so real. Making us move when you're chanting we feel. I never watched his size. He was only about 5. But to me, he was 10 feet tall. Compact energy erupted when he talked. When Papa Shadow took the mic. I said his flow was always tight. You could feel his might. Yeah, Papa Shadow make you feel all right. Papa Shadow make you dance and swing. Hey, Papa Shadow had a wild style. He would mesmerize you when he get in the ring. Papa Shadow make you dance and sing. The way he stayed on our mind is because he was there all the time. Don't even speak about the keyboard he played. When he played, we just get crazed and amazed. We get high off his vibe. Shadow, my musical hero. He make us wind up our waist to the drum and the bass. Our feet would be moving all over the place. Dairy ears were swaying to the words that he was saying. Many days of delight with Shadow on the mic. I would always go up and take the mic and say, can I join in? But he was my friend. He didn't mind giving up the mic. I said, may I join in? I would like to rant. I would like to get in on this chat. They call me Mama Ola Daisy. I'm the all-around queen. People say I can do anything. I raised up my children with a reciprocity. The religion that I love, it had principality. You don't know what it means? Get the dictionary. They call me all-around queen. Many days of delight, the shadow on the mic. May I join in? See, I'd rather go and grab an old-school reggae beat where I can relate. See, even the blues music was a stirring feeling, overwhelming and compelling, but somehow this new music just aggravates my inner being. I was missing that connection. I was reflecting when Shadow came to me. I said, Shadow, this new music is not from the warm spirit of man's instrument, but from a cold technology that imitates, but it never takes me there. Where? I said, there. The music doesn't take me there. Wherever it was I used to go, when I found this reggae, I went there. And I remembered that music amused me. I knew joy again. I drank it up like a thirsty unicorn. Became intoxicated danced and chanted and sang and had my life back again. Ring, ding-a-ling, school bell a ring, old time something to come back again. Ring, ding-a-ling, school bells a ring, shadow on the mic, shadow, rest in peace. Mama Ola Daisy, star round queen, in peace.
Oh, Mama, we love that. We love your take. We love the way you present it. That's great. Thank you.
It's great.
Thank you. Welcome.
It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. See, we miss this stuff. We miss the stuff when we haven't done the show. And, you know, it's like we get this kind of shot, which in a great way on Friday evenings, you know, when you bring something like that.
Thank you.
Got it. Of course. Thank you. And
Big fun.
Now, are you going to be around for the return engagement?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm trying to get my chat room together so I can speak about people. Comment. It's just going in circles. Okay, yeah, I'm going to be here, though.
All right. Great. Sounds all right. Good. So we'll talk to you at least then, okay? But good luck in the chat room.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. And that was Mama Ladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. Throwing it down in a good way. She really nailed it.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of people who throw it down, here's someone who's a multi-award-winning poet and writer, calling from Connecticut. Let's go now to Barbara. Good evening, Barbara. Oh, it sounds like we're having the thing. Barbara, if you can hear us, we cannot hear you. Can you hang up and call us right back? We're having that Skype issue once again. All right.
And I did the update before the show.
You did. So you did everything we could immediately think of anyway.
Well, always, you know.
Yeah. did we do the ritual human sacrifice before the show to engage?
Darn it.
That's the problem, man.
I'll get on those. Sorry. I forgot
all right.
about that.
Hello.
Hello, Barbara. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. I got another award, but a lot of people got awards this time, but it's from Peru. So
a Peruvian award?
Yes.
It sounds like we're talking in code. Someone gave him a Peruvian award, if you know what I'm talking about.
No, this is real. This is an institution that is associated with motivational strips, and it's a big, big group in Peru.
Wonderful. And, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm not sure what I got it for, but it's something in literature. So.
Oh, good.
I guess it's all the work I do. I don't know.
One would hope. All right.
Yes, but we'll talk afterward. I wrote a new poem today, in honor of you guys. Oh. And I was feeling very generous when I wrote the poem, so here goes. My heart is wide. It opens, that's the title, My Heart is Wide. It opens for all who seek entrance with words of praise and soft phrases filled with the exuberant language any woman would love to hear. And it also opens for the needy who require my attention, even if only for a brief moment, to ease a problem or fix a sentence. Or for those who bring me the flowers of friendship in bouquets of lovely statements, showering over me the happiness they feel from knowing me. And to all of these, plus the ones for whom my heart is always open, my family and longtime friends, I am available to ease their worries or spend hours together. Meandering through my life, they are a golden chain I wear each day to comfort me and sustain my existence as I travel this very dark and depressing road alone in hopes of finding some way to deal with the pain. The joy they bring cannot be measured, and the happiness of finding like souls in this very diverse and disinterested world is remarkable, cherished and treasured, and laid on a soft bed of roses to protect it. Fragile as glass, these tender friends are the joy of my life. And if it were possible to shine a light on all of them for their gifts, I would highlight all these remarkable beings. End poem.
Very, very nicely done. Very nicely done. Although I do have to say, I did, and I totally got what you were saying, but at the very end, I highlight all of these remarkable beans was a moment.
Beans. Okay,
I've been hanging around.
Beans.
I've been around kids too much because I hear that and it instantly makes me kind of smile. I don't know.
Beings.
Oh, beings. Oh, okay. I get it. No, Barbara, thank you so much. And congratulations on writing that too.
Thank you. Yeah, I felt very magnanimous at that point about my friends and about people, and not about the world, but about my friends and about people. And it helps to have something positive to write when you're reading so much negativity. That's why I hang out with my friends. I try really hard not to think about the world because it just makes me so, so sad these days. The world and what's happening in the world in our country is just so sad. So I just don't think about it, try not to, and just I try to keep up with the news because I think if you don't, then you're putting your head under a rock. But I don't like to talk about it, you know, like you. I don't like to talk about it. I just like to know about it, you know.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
I know this happened. Okay, I'm putting it away.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm not
going
to think about it.
I know. I get it. I know what you're saying. Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny. JT was talking about this too. He when he puts together those poetry prompts, he was saying, you know, Michael, when I put these things together, it's really, I really have to search for things to be positive about and to look at a larger picture and not be so bogged down in everything that is kind of, you know, coming across our periphery all day and as far as news and media, but also being informed is important. So he talks about these things a lot when he's putting that together.
Yeah, you have to be more positive in your own life to deal with what's going on around you, because otherwise you'll just turn into this, you know, sitting under the covers all day kind of person and not get up.
I mean, or you could be like me and keep the covers on you even though you got
political
up.
Political just... and you know, illness-wise,
yeah,
I mean,
true.
If you think about all the stuff that you have to worry about, it's like crazy, but I don't think about it. That's the thing. I just try and accept it. And we are going out this weekend. We're going to see Jeremy Jordan perform in person in a very tiny venue. So we're very excited. It's like used to be Studio 54.
Oh, yeah.
In Manhattan. It's a very tiny, and they have dinner. So we're excited to do that. And, I haven't been out since, I did go out. I mean, I did, I did actually go out and go on the railroad, you know. I went on the train. So we went to Harlem. My friend Ellen has this great new gallery in Harlem, and luckily it was on the ground floor, so we didn't have to walk up. But it's in a reconverted brownstone, and just a beautiful space. And it was really nice. It was like such a Manhattan experience, you know, just going there and seeing the paintings and you know, just seeing it and then walking around. Harlem is changing. We tried to find a place to eat, but nobody had a reservation. And there were so many people down there on a Sunday, we couldn't believe it. So, you know, anyway, we went to the Red Rooster, which is Marcus Samuelson's restaurant. We couldn't get in because they had stopped serving food at the time we went. And we had to wait like an hour and a half, and we weren't going to wait for, you know. an hour and a half, and then we tried this other place that they suggested, and we couldn't get in, and then we tried another place, and wound up just getting cookies from this awesome place called Insomnia Cookies.
Now, I've actually heard of Insomnia Cookies, but here's my theory. The cookies could just be average, but you were so hungry at this point that anything tasted like manna from heaven.
Exactly. Yes. Anything would have tasted wonderful. It was like, we're walking around Harlem. We can't get anything to eat. It was kind of a cool day. Not really cold, but it was like one of those days in Manhattan. It was a little chilly. And we were walking around, and we needed something to eat. And then we passed by this cookie place, and the aroma, you know, just stopped us. What is that?
Well, as it would.
Yeah. I'm going. Anyway, getting off the phone because you have another segment. But I'll talk to you on the return.
Thank you so much, Barbara. We love you. Great to hear your voice again. We'll talk to you in the return. And that was Barbara from Connecticut. Reading a powerful piece, giving us her culinary adventures.
Yeah.
And for someone who said she hadn't been out.
That was pretty quite.
She
quite
had been out.
Adventure. She's
You're
been
just
out.
Wandering around Harlem, can't get into restaurants, trying to find food, eventually landing on a cookie place called Insomnia Cookies. You call that not being out?
Sounds like those cookies are laced with caffeine.
So maybe when she says out, she's doing quotations. Well, I haven't been
out.
I was just in Harlem.
Right, which is just, over there.
I guess it's a thing. I don't really know. All right, so we are now heading into the second segment, which we always guarantee. We're looking for 5 more unique callers. This is not the return yet, so we're looking for 5 more unique callers. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
For Skype ID, World Poetry, Open Mic.
And now, your deep thought.
Time ain't nothing to a pig.
And that was your deep thought.
All right, and here we are. We are back. Now, when we are gone for about a week, there's a thing called momentum, and it slows down. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Entropy is not what it used to be. And that is the reason why we didn't have many callers in our...
Keep going.
We didn't have callers in our second segment here, and that's okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a little bit of prep, and we're going to play a song, and I'm going to have you announce what it is, actually, JT, the song we're going to listen to, while I get ready to do a Studio X performance. So,
all right.
JT, take it away.
All right. So... the song I'm going to play is actually just a single that was released by a good friend of mine, Mr. Sandman.
Okay.
It's just a new single he dropped.
That's
so
fantastic.
Yeah. Take a listen. We'll get prepped.
Duck, duck, goose, rock a boots all the same. Was started as a flame.
It's just another sister in the wrong type picture. Will I get the chance to show you what it's like to have something good? I'll show you something good. Will I get the chance to show you what it's like to have something good? I'll show you something good. Just need someone that's faithful, someone to keep it real, someone to take his time, learn to love and just build. I know you're tired of being sick and tired, never admired, treating you like lies, off and on, consistent lies, to each his own. We all grown, read a book or two, they always gonna hate, no debate, let them peek at you, paying no attention, cause lies break trust, innocent turns ignorant when it's not about us. Stop trying to be an object for another man's eyes, trying to make your man jealous leads to your demise. These terms of endearment, like driving with no steering, overhead clearance is shorter in appearance. Let me kiss it cause I'm missing, no need to act resistant. There's something about being loyal, make the heartbeat different. Tonight will be a special night, time to unwind. I dedicate our love with some truth and some wine.
Will I get the chance to show you what it's like to have something good? I'll show you something good.
It's been a while since we've been here in Studio X.
It has.
And got a few songs to do tonight. So we'll see how this goes. See if I can remember this one. Up in the morning, out on the job, work like the devil for my pay. The lucky old son ain't got nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Fuss with my woman, toil for my kids, sweat till I'm wrinkled and gray. That lucky old son got nothing to do, roll around heaven all day. Lord up above, can you see I'm crying? Tears are in my eyes. Send down a cloud with silver lining. Take me to paradise. Show me that river. Lead me across. Take all my troubles away. Like that lucky old son, I have nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Like that lucky old son, I have nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Broken windows, an empty hallway, pale dead moon in the sky streaked with gray. Humankindness is overflowing, and I think it's going to rain today. All right. There's that, whatever that was.
I liked it.
Hey, well.
They liked it.
Well, good. Well, that counts. That counts, I suppose.
Was that good for you?
Well, yes, thank you for that. Okay. Thank you for the, I'd ask JT to watch the volume of the guitar there. I appreciate that, sir. Thank you.
You got it.
All right, let's try another one here. I'm sure everyone should kind of know this one. It's been several hours and 15 days since you took your love away. I go out every night and sleep all day since you took your love away. Since you've been gone, I can do whatever I want. I can see whomever I choose. I can eat my dinner in a fancy restaurant. But nothing can take away these blues. 'Cause nothing compares. Nothing compares to you. It's been so lonely without you here, like a bird without a song. Nothing can stop these lonely tears from falling. Tell me, baby, where did I go wrong? I could put my arms around every girl I see, but they only remind me of you. I went to the doctor, and guess what he told me? Guess what he told me? He said, boy, you better try to have fun, don't matter what you do. But he's a fool, 'cause nothing compares, nothing compares to you. That you painted, Mama, in the backyard, all died when you went away. I know that living with you, baby, was sometimes hard, but I'm willing to give it another try. Nothing compares. Nothing compares to you. Nothing compares. Nothing compares to you. Nothing compares. Nothing compares. JT, it's been a while since we've done this. And I got to say, the Studio X thing of trying to pull out new songs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm kind of getting over it. And I don't mean this in a bad way. I still want to do the challenge, the same thing with the Poet of the Month. But I think the thing of bringing up new songs and trying to do it right then, I think I want to do ones that I can really bring some value with. And, I'll think of some of those. I might even try, if we have time later on the show, I might even throw one in. But we'll see. But I'm going to bring, if it's okay with you, I'm going to bring this guitar back next week. And we're going to have some ones to do. I think it'll be fun.
Okay.
All right, brother. All right, so everybody, we are going to be going into our return engagement. That means if you want to share another piece, if you want to share your first piece of the night, you can already do it, or you can do it. We're not having a cap of five callers now. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back, like a bad penny. Have you ever seen a bad penny?
Yes.
What is
I
that?
Have.
What does that actually entail? To me, a penny is a penny.
Well, I mean, when I was growing up, I'd pick up pennies out of the laundromat.
Yeah.
And they're nasty.
They
have the full color green on them because they've been through the wash too many times.
I've seen that. Yeah. For sure.
That to me is a bad penny, but I guess a bad penny it's got to have another connotation. From something.
Well, when I was a kid, too, I used to take pennies like that and I would go put them on the train track.
Oh, I never got the chance to do that. I'm going to do that.
Now, isn't there some like big problem, like you really shouldn't be doing that or something?
So, okay, here's the thing. Legally, no.
Oh, because you're defacing currency?
Defacing currency.
However, yeah, like it's based on the gold standard anyway.
5 nickels is the maximum height you can put on a track without derailing it.
That's kind of ridiculous.
You put any more on that, it'll make the train jump. Yeah, don't do it. But there's a maximum height that you can put of coins. I came across a guy, he used to do this all the time. He would stack dimes. Nickels.
I wouldn't stack. I just lay them.
Yeah.
I'd lay them out.
But, I mean, he would stack them because if you stack them, when the wheel comes over on top, it smashes them all together or shoots them out multiple directions where they could possibly injure you.
Yeah, yeah. Shrapnel. Not a great idea.
But that's what they would do is go around and pick up the coins afterwards to look at the damage.
I think I was like 9 years old and I had this genius idea that I was going to crush enough nickels to be able to create an chainmail suit of armor. It wasn't actually chainmail, but you know, it would have the appearance of the plates. Yeah, it didn't. No. That's a lot of dimes.
It's a lot of dimes.
And if I had a dime for every dime that I crushed, I'd have...
What, a dollar's worth?
Twice as many dimes.
It's true.
Yeah. All right. So we've got some callers lined up here. Oh, by the way, I haven't mentioned. Well, no, I have actually. What's going on with this anthology thing I'm supposed to be talking about over here? What is this? What is this ridiculousness?
It's our book, dude.
Yeah, I already talked about it.
Yeah, I have it up there.
I'll mention it again. Hey, everybody. No, I think everybody on the air right now has heard it before. We're totally fine. And if they've gotten this far, they already heard it at the beginning. Very quickly, I have another submission from James Rothline.
Wonderful.
That I'm going to read here, okay?
Okay.
And actually, it's technically two, but you'll get why it's just one.
Okay.
All right, here we go. This one is called Aries Aim. No one left. No one left. No one left. And still we appease him. The world is a cookie. The world is a cookie. Crumbling, dried out, having killed all the poets, trampled to dust, it sleeps in oblivion. And those are from James Rothline from Pennsylvania, the land of writing utensils. You kind of see where okay.
No,
anyway.
No, I get it. I really do.
Okay.
Sorry.
You're like, I don't approve, but I get it. All right, let's go now to upstate New York to talk to Zach.
Good
Hello, Zach.
Hello, my friends. How are you?
We're doing fair to middling and quite well at the same time.
Well, you know, you gotta take what you can get.
That's
you know what?
Right.
We're working on it. We're working on it. How about you? How's everything over there?
Oh, it's going good. You know, listening to some music and you know, we have a place out here called Henrietta Mall Antiques, and today I went and got a amazing deal. I found a rotary phone. It was Goofy, and from Disney Goofy, and it actually works. And he is actually animated, and he actually he's like sleeping, and when someone calls you, he actually wakes up and asks you to turn the snooze alarm on because he was sleeping. And
see, that's pretty ingenious.
He has a couple of other phrases that he says, and it's really cool because you know, it was $49.99, but I got it for $38, and I looked it up online. It goes anywhere from 70 to 300 used. So I knew that I would never see him in my life again. So I had to go get him. And also, but the reason I'm mentioning this is because that jazz or blues music and the in between that reminded me that one of the things I saw there. You guys remember the California Raisins?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they had one of the figures. They had one of the figures for like $5.
Oh, California Raisins are now antiques. Yikes.
You know what's funny about the California Raisins, though? One thing that I found that everybody, at least from my age, remembers is their Christmas special.
Yes.
And their version of We Three Kings.
Love that one.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody my age remembers this.
Favorite sequence.
See?
Favorite sequence.
So many people who know this. It's amazingly catchy.
Yep.
All right. Anyway, sorry about that.
I will look this up. What is it?
You need to. Yeah. It's the California Raisins Christmas special.
And they're specifically their version of We Three Kings of Orientar.
It is fantastic.
Which technically is an epiphany song, not really a Christmas song, but they're raisins. We don't expect much.
That's right.
Well, hey, it was still a brilliant move by them to because no one ate raisins, so you know why not make claymated animated raisins in a band, you know?
You know, to me, it's a natural conclusion.
It was pretty impressive, and you know the. It's better than the sad because it's better than most commercials nowadays.
Yeah, that's true. Did you ever see the Quiznos subs commercials with the things called the, what were they called? The,
I don't know, space monkeys?
Something monkeys. Yeah, that we love the subs. Did you ever see those?
I did not.
So now I sound like I sound like a total crazy person
because you are.
Yeah,
but
well, I mean that's fair. But that was a real ad campaign, Zach. I'm not just kidding about this.
You'll have to look that one up too. Hey,
yeah,
but we are.
There's probably a lot of 80s and 90s commercials that I've never heard of that are probably fantastic.
This was au contraire, my friend. This is only 15 years ago. No, this was like 2004, 2005, something like that. Just look up Quiznos, like the sandwich shop, monkeys, and you'll find them right there.
Okay. You know, I'm sure we could talk about this all night, but we got other poets waiting.
Oh,
so,
come on. Okay, yeah, fair enough. You're right.
when I come to Colorado, when my friends move there, we'll all hang out. But until then, I have another poem. This one is once again inspired by the JT's poem prompts. This one is based off of the poem prompt to write about what America means to you. And so this poem is called Everything. Someone asked what America means to me. Well, it's more than the land of the free and the home of the brave. It's more than a place of opportunity or roads paved in gold. It's pride. America is its people, who come from all walks of life. It's history. It's the future. It's humanity. It's tragedy and cruelty. So what does America mean to me? America is everything. End of peace.
You know, I remember that prompt, and that was a that's a meaningful take on it. I really like what you did with it.
Yeah.
Thank you. How do you feel about that, JT?
Great. Well done, sir.
Thank you.
Was that what you were kind of feeling when you were coming up with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's such a diverse history. It's and you know, it's got a cruelty and tragedy, and it's got, you know, it's the future. It's everything, and I mean, everywhere is everything. You know, everywhere you could say something about everywhere that is everything.
Yeah,
but yeah. So you know, that's my take on it. Keep up the good prompts, and you know. It was good to talk to you guys. I will talk to you next week.
Sounds great, Zach.
Hey, sounds great. Thank you so much, sir. We will talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good. Bye.
All right, bye. And that was Zach Collin from upstate New York leading us off here in the return engagement.
Gotta love my fingers. They just want to go everywhere.
Hey, you know what? They're the only fingers you got. You got to be friendly with them.
You know, I use them all day.
I try to make friends with my fingers on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So far, they haven't responded, but I'm now that I turned 40 this year, I'm hoping they'll eventually be mature enough to respond.
I hope so too.
So they're like the mean girls of my body. All right, let's now go to George in Michigan. Hello, George. Welcome back.
Hey. I heard you guys talking about fingers. See, in Michigan, we don't have fingers. We have mittens.
That's right.
So, yeah, of course, we have to wear them all the time to keep warm. But so I don't know what you're talking about. We have heard of this vague reference about giving somebody the finger. But that
doesn't occur anywhere in Michigan, right?
Not in Michigan. Well, they do make some mittens here where the middle finger is dominant. But and it's for all past. Yeah, everything else is covered. But, hey, I was going to mention something. I don't think I mentioned it last time. I saw an article about, or I guess I heard it on the news, about a sort of revival of poetry worldwide, especially in America, where. And this author said that poetry has a spurt, so to speak, at times when the nation is troubled, when there's times of crisis and anxiety. And I, sorry if one of you already have said this, but this person said that, you know, we have our political anxiety, so many of us do, and that it produces a lot of good poetry. And it's there's an increase in poetry. And also... Yeah. The same guy said that across history, the poets are the ones that often make changes. In other words, they write about wrongs and rights and all that sort of thing. And then people pick up on it, and sometimes it becomes institutionalized or made legal or whatever. But I think that's fascinating, and I believe it because I'm just in my little world of poetry. I'm getting more and more interest lately.
There is a jump. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to...
mm-hmm.
No, there is something. It is tied together. And one thing I also noticed is that when the nation or the world is in turmoil, not only is there more art, but art becomes more codified. So you look back at the period of time during the Baroque period, for instance, where things became very codified. And if you look at pop music now, it's almost just as mathematical. as the Baroque music was back then. However, when the world is going through a period of more peace and prosperity, you start seeing things get more free flowing and out there, but they get very expressive and very codified and kind of mathematical. There's order to the art when the world is chaotic, and vice versa when the world is peaceful.
I'll be darned. That's very interesting. My poem is nothing as optimistic as Zach's great one was. This one I actually read about 2 years ago. It's called Damn Them. Damn Them. At 95, she looks around her and sees nothing familiar. All her friends are gone, damn them. They cheated her by leaving her here alone. And younger ones have not yet appeared. If she speaks out her loneliness, all she hears are echoes. Her progeny pop in to say hello, to show their love, but not to really listen. So she frets and kvetches to almost no one and dreams a bit of imagined reappearances of dead lovers, friends, pals, and she wakes up just as they start to hug her. Damn them. She bears a grudge to those who loaned her their longevity while they escaped into familial memories. A young nurse told her, old people have it made, no alarm clocks, no deadlines, you can just sit. And sitting by the window, she sees an old cat passing and wonders if it still has friends and a beast.
Wow.
It's a good piece.
It's a really good piece. And I feel like inspired by that piece, JT, I want to make an announcement here. My intention, unfortunately, my friend, is to die first.
Great.
Okay. Thanks for the news bulletin.
I mean, I don't have any other plan around it. I'm just saying that's my intention.
I know what I'll put on your
that's
your
right
tombstone.
That's right. You look around, and if you see one of your friends getting ill, you better die first. Because
see a friend in right, you know, medical well, problem, you're like, damn it, come on. What are you?
I love it.
No, that was
a great idea.
No, it's a horrible idea, George. No, no, but,
of course it is.
But a meaningful thing. In fact, the reason I would say that based on the poem too is that's something that I've just seen happen multiple times, and of course I haven't experienced it yet, but I know that we all eventually do if we get to that point. And it seems like it'd be heartbreaking. It really does.
Oh, the person, I didn't just base this on a real person, but a lot of it's based on a good friend who turns 97 in 3 days. So,
wow.
I mean, her life isn't quite that way, but and her family is very good. You know, of course, you know, I take poetic license and make things more miserable is what one of my goals. But,
oh, that was
isn't that what poets are supposed to, I mean, if you're in love, everything's more glorious. And if you're not happy, you better make sure poets make everything shitty.
You know, it's true. It's true. Yeah.
Oh, I see my goals so simply. But anyway, there's a sort of a real person behind this, and I think we're going to go visit her on her 97th birthday next week. And she has some of these symptoms that I talked about.
Well,
wonderful.
She,
you know,
she has
and
no idea
everyone underestimates them. You know, they think that they're old, they're frail, they're hobbly, they're bent over, they can't hear, the TV is way loud, they can't read. But their brains work, and it works better than most of us, and we way underestimate them, you know.
You know what?
And of course, the life is, you guys' parents aren't quite as old as this person is. She's not a parent of mine. She's a friend of ours. But
that the thing is, when you'll see this, and it's a, you know, just because you can't walk well doesn't mean you can't think well. And I wish some of the younger folks understood that.
Yes, I agree.
Yes,
George.
Yes, totally, totally. And I think that's something that we really have a hard time culturally remembering, and because it's hard to,
right?
You know, and right. But it's a worthwhile point. It's something we've got to remember.
Yeah, I keep trying to remember. And now that I've dropped everybody into a subthermal zone with this, I'll let the next caller come on.
Right.
So it's been a great night, and I've loved this evening. It's been fun.
We really have enjoyed it too. Thank you so much, George.
Thank you. All right.
Bye. And that was George calling from Michigan in his second turn this evening.
And to add on to George's point, I have a few veterans that come up to my desk.
Yeah.
They're World War II. Oh, my goodness. I had a guy today. He was from World War II. I mean, he served in World War II, and he was just like, hey, let's go. Come on. I'm like, wow.
He's sharper than me.
He really was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was just. I'm like, I never discredit them because of that. It's just one of those things that when I see it, I'm like, yeah.
Well, I think one of the things that I always really loved, I remember at one point I was thinking about trying to become a lawyer.
Mm.
And I was talking to my grandfather, World War II captain. And the thing I like about when you start seeing wisdom is they don't feel the need to push that or not the need to push that they're intelligent or that, you know, that they have wisdom, right? They're just going to make the point, but they're going to make it in a very delicate way. And so I remember saying, you know, talking to my grandfather about how I want to be a lawyer, and he goes, oh, interesting. Hey, Michael, grab that the Yellow Pages for me. I need an attorney. And I look through, and he goes, how many pages are there? And I counted it, and it was like, you know, 25 pages or 26 pages. He goes, you think the world needs another one? And that's all he said. It was always just a question. It was never anything like that. But it just was like, yep, point taken. Okay, cool.
Yep.
You know, and I'm thankful for him for that, you know.
Yeah.
Among many other things, but that was just one little moment. All right, let's go to Vancouver, British Columbia, for a completely not natural tie-in. But let's go to Cynthia, who is just... Her work is wonderful, and it will make me happy. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi, I'm admiring your grandfather's wisdom. That was so interesting.
He was a very that was actually a very minor example of some of it, but he was a pretty amazing guy.
Wow. Okay, so I have a really short poem this time, and it's to go with another painting that my friend Jilly Watson did. The painting is called "Take a Rest." So I called the poem the same thing, Take a Rest. The daisies and the house, forever in the light. Protective cove guiding the way. Birds in bassinet flower pots bond with the evolution of morning. A light like butterfly branches aligning through mist. End poem.
Wow, very nice. Cynthia, you got it really going tonight. You're bringing some great stuff.
Yeah, and thank you for letting me debut these here because I've been driving myself kind of crazy. Like, I'll get the poem done, and then I'll be worried that it's not good enough, and then I'll take it all apart and put it back together the same way it was. And it's really nice to have this place to just read them, decide that they're good enough, and just go on and tweak them, of course. But you know, let them be finished.
We absolutely are happy to we're happy to have that. It's something we enjoy hearing very much, and please keep doing it.
Yeah, thank you so much for this forum.
You got it, of course. And we'll talk to you next time, okay?
Okay.
Next time. Okay, thank you. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia, the number three spot here in our return engagement. All right, now we're getting into the parts where someone, we might be having a Skype issue. I'm not sure yet, but if we do, we'll just let you know, and we know what to do. All right, let's go now to Connecticut to visit with Barbara once again. Hello, Barbara.
Hi.
Hi. We are, there's a little bit of a lag, it sounds like, but we now...
There is a tiny bit of a lag, yeah.
Yeah, it just, it happens, I guess, huh? So, the I'm going to give you the floor, and we'll talk after this, okay?
Okay, I'm going to read from the poem that is in the World Poetry Open Mic anthology, which you were discussing. And it's the first poem of the ones, which, by the way, I will just tell you that that anthology is so beautifully laid out. You know, when my daughter went to look at the poems, she said, "Mom, there's no names on the poems." And I said, "I'm sure Michael would not have done that." And then I took a look at it and realized that you had a front piece, a front page of everybody's work. So the name of the person was on that front page, and then all of the poems inside, like a little package. It was beautiful, just so beautifully done. Anyway, this one is called Contemplating the Footsteps of Writers, and it's based on this quote. "To what can our life on earth be likened? To a flock of geese alighting in the snow, sometimes leaving a trace of their passing." And this is a quote by Su Shi. "Sometimes on a snowy winter day, a flock of geese might be surprised by a noise or an intruder and rise toward the sky to find another place. Perhaps they had just arrived and were suddenly whisked away. You search the new-fallen snow for traces of their being, but find only a few delicate footprints scattered around, not enough to estimate the size of this group or know much about them. Too many people are like those geese. They arrive in this world and exist only in a physical sense, never letting anyone outside their immediate circle know who they are. Their existence is ethereal, for too easily what they were can be erased. And they have left little behind except the memories within their loved ones. But a writer is not like one of those geese, for in the markings they bring to the world is their soul. And they lay it out piece by piece, showing their goods to the world. Writers take what is inside of themselves and add a little dash of this and that to create a new piece. Their footprints easily stand out in the vastness of life, and some have had their words remembered for ages. They piece together the remnants of ideas until what they have is an entirely new creation, forged with the material they find in their journey through life, and adding to the lexicon of language with their poetry and prose. A writer seeks to strew their footprints in as many places as possible. And unlike the geese who flit delicately on the snow, the marks a writer makes are deep and powerful, and they cannot be erased from the minds that read them." End poem.
You know, I think it's a beautiful sentiment, Barbara, and I also think in the other part of it is, that means that I can write poetry and make some my enemies read my work, and now I'm permanently implanted in their head.
Exactly. See, that's why I write poetry.
This is it's a very
no
subtle
one wanted
long
to listen to me when I was no, I was this quiet little girl. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't believe it, but I was, and in a group, I never spoke.
Oh, really?
And yeah, I never spoke, and then when I met my husband, I was very, very quiet. He spoke a lot. I spoke very little. And then just by being with him, because he spoke a lot, and in order to get to speak at all, I learned to speak in public. And as a teacher, I learned to speak.
Right.
And then gradually, when I started writing poetry and people started listening to my poetry, I realized this was a way for everyone to listen to me. And they, you know, they were very quiet when I read. And so this is, you know, the way I speak to people through my poetry.
Well, and you know what? I found that the teaching, just the pure repetition of being in front of people and talking so much, is so valuable when it comes to the presentation of your work or your reading or your poetry. It's amazing to me how many teachers I know that are still frightened of speaking to adults.
Yeah, it's a scary thing, really. I mean, if you're in a group, it's a very scary thing, but I have learned to speak up, you know. It's like, you know, my piece is valuable, and I've learned to speak up, and, you know, I go to open mics now and read, and I go to, I've read in front of complete strangers. And, once you do that, you get more confidence in yourself. And especially if your stuff gets awarded or accepted, that's even, you know, better. Because then you get even more confidence and realize, oh, these things that come from my head so easily and onto the screen, and people actually like them, you know.
Yeah, I totally understand.
So that's why I feel invigorated by this program and just all the people on it, and my friends, and you know, it's like water to plants, you know. It's like we bloom under this kind of attention, and everyone gets better, you know.
Absolutely. I agree.
So that's how I feel. And thank you so much for putting so many of those poems in there. They're so beautiful. I'm so excited, and I, you know, have it in a special place, you know.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome. I'm just really happy to know that you have a copy of it. And
I got a copy because I wanted to see it. I know a lot of my friends were in it, and the other poems are just magical. I love reading them, and it's just so wonderful to see everyone's work in there, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you. You're welcome, and I'll talk to you, you know, next week, I guess.
Sounds
good.
When
I have more information about the concert.
All right.
I mean, who wouldn't want to go see Jeremy Jordan?
Who wouldn't, really? Who wouldn't? Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Barbara.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut in her second turn on the show. All right. Now, shall we go, JT, to a little place we like to call Cleveland, Ohio?
Sounds great.
Let's do it. Let's talk to Mama Ladeji. Hello, Mama, you there? She is there, but we can't hear her. Mama, can you call us right back? We're having that thing again. Dude, what is going on with Skype?
Four regular
calls.
Yeah,
but it's happened. Now it's five, so it used to be...
Whoa. Sorry, I forgot about that.
The bass on that kick drum on that thing.
Yeah.
Hey there, Mama.
Yeah, I'm on redial. Fast fingers, right? Okay. I love this show. This show is the bomb. I love that word, Barbara. Just use ethereal. I mean, mm-hmm. I've heard it before, but I never really looked at the depth of it. You know, that word is just, it's just a beautiful word. I like how she used it. And the geese, that was great. Okay, the whole program is just awesome. It's like a learning experience. It's a joyful experience. I am just happy. So I'm gonna kind of go from where George went. There's a young lady in Africa named Rachel Redison, who I've kind of adopted as one of my daughters. She's a beautiful lady. And I put the pictures in the where I put the open mic friends. You can see the two poems. I'm doing like a comparison of the grandmothers of myself and her grandmother. And so if you all want to go and look at the poem over there, you can. And it's two grandmothers. Now, my granddaughter said about me, my grandmother, she said, some grandmas pinch your cheeks until they turn a rosy red. Other grandmas like to give you big kisses that leaves lipstick markings on your head. Some grandmothers like to knit and watch soap operas all day, while other grandmothers enjoy talking to cats to pass the time away. But not my grandma. She's like no other. She's a special type of grandmother. Yes, no other grandmother can compare to my grandma with purple hair. That's a far cry from Rachel's grandmother. And she wrote about her grandmother. My grandmother is 90 and pretty. She sparkles in beauty like a celestial city. Talk about her sense of humor, and I can tell you she's damn witty. Her pretty, crickety wisecracks can split your sides. Look into her eyes and you will see a young soul singing Hosanna. Hold her hand and you will feel her flesh falling into your palm, fragile. There is an aurora of innocence that paints her presence. It simply humbles me. This woman loves to pray. She will say, you must not let the devil have his way. Get down on those knees and off he will be on his heels. She's an angel. I wonder where she keeps her wings. I know one day, someday, we would have to part ways, but I pray that day never nears. I want my grandchildren to also take pictures with her and show to their friends with a caption, Great Granny is 130 and terrific. I want to walk in her wrinkles and travel into space, hold those frail fingers and feel covered with a blanket of roses, sink in the sea of her smile and watch the grass go green at the bottom of her heart. She is my mama, granddaughter, and my nanny. Long live grandma. And I also want to be pretty at 90. Thank you. Love by her granddaughter, Rachel Leverson, Miss Dominic. So those are two grandmas. One was me.
Absolutely love it.
Good stuff.
Absolutely love it. Yeah, that's so good. And, you know, one thing that I had a great relationship with one of my grandmothers. The other one I didn't know very well because she passed away not long after I was born. But I get to see my mother now has become a really happy, doting grandmother on her on my niece and my nephew, and I just absolutely love seeing it.
Wow, it's just, I'm just looking at the difference. Her grandmother is the same age as my mother.
Yeah.
And she, that poem that she wrote about her grandmother was just awesome. Now, my granddaughter was only 15 when she wrote mine. So I'm waiting for her to grow up so I can get one like Rachel.
Yeah. meaningful, though.
Her name is Sarah. And she's in college now, and she's the one that lost her mother, my daughter. And she's also working, and she's on scholarship, but she had to take a break because she ran out of money. So she's working, and she's going to go back, finish her scholarship up. But now, she wrote a poem the other day, and it was just awesome. Now, it wasn't about me yet, but I wanted you all to hear it. So she's going to call in next week. I'll probably have her on three-way, and she'll let you hear. Let you hear her poem. That she's a great, great poet.
I was like, that's so cool.
So yeah, that one she wrote when she was 15. So I'm waiting on her to come up so I can get me a more.
hey, I get it. You know what? She's welcome anytime, as I'm sure you know.
So my saving grace is I had purple hair, so now I got to find out what the contribution I made to her life.
Mama, thanks so much. We love you, and we appreciate everything you bring to the show. It's been a great night, and I think it was a great way to close it out.
All right, then. Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
Everybody go over and read those two poems I got over there in Friends with Poets. And also, I wanted that poem from George. George, if you can't find my favorite poems by other poets page, put it in that poem in the WPOM Poets and Friends page, and I'll see it over there. And I'll transfer it over to my favorite poems page. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio, rounding out our return engagement segment, our second kind of segment part for the evening. All right. So it's been a good night. It's been a really good night. And next week we come back and let's see, it's still not the beginning of the new month. So it's going to be kind of just a poetry flowing night. I'm going to bring my guitar back next week.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think it's just going to be a really just enjoyable time. We hope that you'll all join us. We hope that you'll consider bringing some friends. I think it's a good thing as well. And we usually pick up momentum after a couple weeks back. And that'll probably be what happens this next time as well. But in the meantime, from Ursa, the studio dog, from Novia, the studio cat, from JT and myself, we love you. Thank you so much for spending the time with us. Thank you so much for reading and for your work and what you bring to the community. Until next time, keep on writing and good night.